This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
All right, here we go. Let's talk sports for 5 hours. What do you say, General, at your service? If you see me, bear me. N.A. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy Scout, Super Bowl champ. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh, fixing to go five flawless once again. Of course, Wolchuk and Shia Follower here. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video, and along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. We'd love to see your text chatter. The Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open at 877-881-1053. Please leave your name and city you're texting from. We'll make you famous in the nation. And if you want to be active in the Twitch and YouTube chat, proceed at your own risk. That's all I can say about those folks over there. You know, it can be quite a scene. Broaddus, how the heck you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you very much. Just getting through some college players and late-night calls when people are available to talk about free agency. So trying to kind of put all this stuff together here and see what happens. I honestly hate free agency. I hate the way it's done now.
What do you hate about it?
I hate the tampering period. There used to be a time when the league year started, like the first day of free agency was the league year is when everything, and now we've got these 3 days beforehand. It kind of takes away from the excitement of free agency. It's like I feel like the league year starts today and there's really all the signings have kind of been done.
Hayes in the barn.
Yeah. I hate it for that because I always loved the fact that we had meetings, we talked about players, we built the board.
And then at 12:01 midnight, you start making calls.
Go time.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like Jacksonville, you knew they were tampering with everybody. They'd sign like four guys, and you're like, how they do that? You know, and so that part of it was fun and entertaining. This seems like the Hayes in the barn. You know?
Yeah, they don't need to call it anything special. Instead of calling it the legal tampering period or whatever, just say free agency has started because it effectively had.
I just kind of feel like that maybe you're in tier five and six now.
The only cool thing about it is you do have that those random, there's like one per year, even though I don't think we've seen one this year where they sign with a team apparently. And then it's like, oh, wait, no, we got the okie doke. It wasn't real. Somebody gave me more money a few days later, so I didn't sign yet.
You can have those.
Yeah, I just kind of was like, I just wish everything would start. If they say it's going to start, the league year starting on the whenever.
That's a good take by you because it's just crusty enough, but it's not get off my lawn indignant. It's like we can all understand that you should be in that camp.
Do you feel like free agency's over?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of the
today's the first day of the new year, right? That's what bothers me.
A lot of the excitement, yeah. Because you're right. As a kid, I used to enjoy. You know, you're staying up late. It's like, oh my gosh, who's gonna be the first one to sign? And boom, here it is. Oh, the Cowboys signed Brandon Carr. Let's go, baby!
It's gonna be great. We're gonna spend money in free agency forever.
Love it.
My team Jason wants Ferguson. To try and win.
Yeah, baby. Anthony Henry, sign me up.
Yeah, there was a time where like
Keith Brooking,
you would be talking to like these agents and stuff at the combine, and they're like, okay, we got a deal. We're good. Yeah, okay, we got to, you know, that kind of thing. And then you had to wait. You know, not this what it is today, but I mean, it is what it is. They're trying to. This is not a TV deal, right? They're just, what are they doing?
I don't think it's a TV deal.
I'm not quite sure exactly why they time it up like that, but, you know, whatever the case, it is, it's unnecessary.
We should be excited for the start of the new league year, but we're really not.
It sucks because you don't really have an official start. Like, the next thing you know, on Sunday we're going, and then here we are on Wednesday, and it's already over, and you're like, okay, it's over, I guess, but... you know, there is at least a late arrival to the free agent market as the Rams have made it official here with the release of Cooper Kupp, Will the Cowboys have interest here? Are they going to throw their hat in the Cooper Cup?
I don't think so. That's one of those late night calls you make and stuff like that. So you kind of find out you never know how low the price could go and could it make sense. If you're talking about playing and Eric and I did a Love of the Star this morning. We were talking about, you know, reduced formations and, you know, tight splits and all that. Cooper Cup's a monster when you play that kind of football. And if that's what we're trying to do here with Schottenheimer, if he's trying to reduce the width of his offense, you know, Cooper Kupp would be a great one to go after. But I didn't get the vibe last night that it was something that they were really, really interested in at this point.
Well, when they hired Junior Adams, their wide receivers coach, that was one of the first names that we had heard of that had glowing reviews was Cooper Kupp. So you've got somebody on your staff, much like when they signed Solomon Thomas yesterday and Coach Whitecotton, that you can have probably a better insight and information than the majority of the league. I'm sure they still keep in touch, Coach Adams and Cooper Kupp. But yeah, the whispers were the Cowboys aren't going to be in on this one.
Well, yeah, I don't think necessarily about Cooper Kupp. I think it's just that they're not going to be on anybody that's going to make any sort of a contract of substance. And I think Cooper Kupp's probably still in the $8 to $12 million a year range, which probably prices him out. Yeah. I feel like the Cowboys are now transitioning into a bad franchise. Because they're draft and that's our team, and now they've been drafting poorly, and they're not going to pay anybody to sort of bridge the gap to make them a good team again. So if that's the kind of team that you're going to be, I think we're going to watch them now become a bad organization.
Oh, we were bad in the early 2000s because we couldn't draft, and then when free agency, you had to overspend for free agents that didn't really help you all that much. So yeah, that's something you have to worry about.
And that was three 5-11 years in a row.
Yep. Yep, 3 in a row.
2000
and then it ended once you hired Parcells, one more 5-11 year, and then came out of that.
He took his first year
10-6 with Quincy Carter.
Yeah, with Quincy Carter. So all the players that we had assembled, he took that team and coached brilliantly that year.
I mean, you could save it by drafting, you know, Pro Bowlers, getting a couple of those guys as rookies, a couple of other guys that can fill gaps in a way that, you know, they're starting for you and are legitimate starting quality. I guess it's not impossible, but right now I just think it sucks that their team building approach is what it is. And they haven't been drafting well. I don't know what to expect. I don't know where the hope and excitement is here for the rest of this offseason.
I got you. You know where the hope is?
Bring it, Wolchuk.
There's trends, right, in the NFCs. Last year, I went with the Washington Commanders to have their pop-up
year. Pop-up year.
So here's the trend with the Cowboys. They'll stink. And then what's going to happen is, just for this year,
yes,
right, they're throwing the darts in these reclamation projects. This is the history of the team. They love doing this with the first-round talent. Mm-hmm. They liked Peyton Turner when he was coming out of the draft. He didn't work out in New Orleans. He hasn't played any football. What will happen is, this year, Peyton Turner will play, and he'll be pretty good. Heck, he might even be good enough to go get himself a big-time deal somewhere else. Same thing with Solomon Thomas. He'll end up being a low-budget, okay deal.
We got a football Yoda situation brewing right now?
Yeah, and so what's going to happen is they'll win 10-11 games this year. They'll get in the playoffs. It'll be an early exit like we expect, but it'll be like a solid season that gets you kind of excited. New staff, here we go. It'll be more the same, right, where it's like, darn it, they lost in the first round of the divisional round, but the season will end up being better than we expect, because right now we're looking at the roster and we're thinking, gosh, dang it, they're going to be fighting with the Giants for, like, can you get out of the cellar dwellers of the NFC?
Terrible.
So they might end up kind of playing above our expectations. Mm. That's kind of the trends that they go on here. After a bad year, they follow it up with being a little bit better than you think, but the bottom line is they won't be sniffing a championship, and that's ultimately our hope.
When's the championship come then? When's the trend show that?
Yeah, the trend doesn't show that for the foreseeable future, unfortunately. We're still waiting on that one. That's going to take some actual legitimate changes with how they structure the up top.
I think the best thing we have to get excited about right now is the Dallas Stars, and then shortly after that is your Texas Rangers. And today is the birth of the new Rangers Sports Network. It's going to be Channel 33 in DFW. We'll have a live Insta reaction coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, and along with the Victory Plus app, you can watch that as well. But it's the first broadcast on that network. I saw our friend Angie Swint said they're excited. She's in charge of that stuff over there. I saw Jared Sandler's pretty excited about it. I know, you know, we make fun of Jared a lot, and believe me, there's a lot to make fun of. But the fact that, you know, he's been trusted on, to take on a big role, a simulcast TV and radio at the same time once the regular season gets going, that's really exciting. Evan Grant with a story today. The Rangers are now the projected AL favorites following the news Gerrit Cole is out for the year with the torn elbow ligament. He needs Tommy John. And, of course, we never celebrate injuries to our rivals. Never. Very unfortunate. No. But as you can see in sports, injuries are a reality. There are consequences to those injuries, and sometimes it shifts the balance of power in a very meaningful way.
Sometimes you don't have enough basketball players to play because of all the injuries.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It definitely shaped the balance.
But that hurts, right. Broadus. That hit a little too close to home.
Yeah. This is kind of exactly where my mind went. Like, it wasn't, oh my gosh, Gerrit Cole, I'm happy you're hurt, but it was.
Of course not.
Oh my gosh, if you look now at the landscape of the American League, that's a big time loss for the reigning American League champs.
Huge.
And the path to the World Series, assuming the Rangers don't have injuries of their own, which they dealt with last year, we know that all too well.
Yeah.
Looking pretty good.
Yeah, it's been bad with the Cowboys, with the Mavs, and of course the Rangers last year. So speaking of that, do you think this approach with Jacob DeGrom is going to work? Have you seen this story this week? A couple of different outlets have published a similar recounting of events. This is Jeff Passan, ESPN, how DeGrom plans to return to form in 2025. And it starts talking about how the time in his life where he could get up there and be like, I'm going to strike everybody out today. You know, nobody's even going to touch this baseball with a bat. That's over. Okay. And it's part of a psychological switch for him to hold himself back a little bit, with the belief being, I'm not going to throw quite as hard. That's going to keep me healthy. You know, they do acknowledge the fact nobody's ever come back from a third Tommy John as well. So DeGrom's got to look at this like, I have to make this work, because if it goes Tommy John again, I'll be looking to do something unprecedented. But yeah, it means throwing less hard, and it also means maybe less pitches per start, especially if they're stressful innings. Well, this is, I think, reason to be optimistic that they are definitely having a healthy appreciation and understanding of exactly where they are with it.
Yeah, he's wise now. He's dealt with this a couple of times. And the last time he came back from Tommy John with the Mets, he has the surgery in September of 16, comes back in 17, and he had three consecutive healthy seasons. He made at least 31 starts in each season, and then he won two Cy Youngs. So I think you're going to finally get the version of Jacob DeGrom. Now, it's hard to project the injuries, right? You can't predict that. But I do think, at least just going by the history, he's now on his third Tommy John. He was able to stay healthy for several years after each one. And so hopefully now is the time for the Rangers to cash in on that golden arm of his.
We are still standing by for Tyler Mahle news, right? A scratch from yesterday's start with a forearm tightness.
Yeah, I haven't heard any more about that. The bad news was Cody Bradford also was kind of shut down today. He's also having a little bit of arm fatigue.
Is that forearm tightness for him too? Did it say specifically?
I did not get a specific on what it was. Let's see. Elbow soreness is for him, the elbow. MRI, he did have an MRI though, and he had no structural damage.
But as Brian mentioned, it is a Mavericks game night taking on the Spurs. Another one of these winnable games. So you got to steer clear of that.
Coaches are fighting for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Coaches are fighting for it. So that's, everybody else is trying to get odds to go up to the top of that board.
We got some news here. Cowboy news. Justine Anderson. I'm told that the Bills, and nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, are expected to trade cornerback Kyir Elam to the Dallas Cowboys, according to a source. So, hey, we heard some whispers. Brian, it's coming to fruition. Maybe they were working on some trades behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Here it is. Kyir Elam from the Buffalo Bills. Don't know about the return, what the Cowboys are giving up, but Justine Anderson reporting a trade for a cornerback, which was badly, badly needed.
Yeah, this was I was on the Cowboy break earlier, and last night in these calls, there were some conversations about, bless you, by the way, there's some conversations about taking those picks and maybe moving those around and trying to get something done. If they can't get anything done free agency, they were looking for nickel corners and some other positions as well. But it's good to see if that's the case. Need to kind of run that down now.
There you go, Walchuk. The Cowboys trying to take advantage of another former first-round pick.
There it is. You know, hey, and that was a first-rounder in 2022. I believe he's going into year four now. So the player option, maybe you still have that for year five. He hasn't started a ton of games. It looks like he's only started, 12 games throughout the entirety of his career. He's appeared in at least 13, two out of the three seasons. Last year had two tackles for loss. 26 total tackles, one forced fumble, two passes defense. So they obviously saw something they liked coming out of college for him, and they'll try again with the guy. We'll see what the compensation is, but I assume it's probably not a ton for Kyrie Elam out of Buffalo.
My sources are telling me you're looking at flashes of high-level play, yet to lock down a consistent role in Buffalo's defense, injuries, but also struggles to adapt to a zone-heavy scheme. Have made his transition difficult. He's a much better man corner. He's been injured. He's had issues with tackling as well in run support. Mm-hmm. So I know he's not going to get a chief thumbs up. If we see any of that stuff.
Well, I mean, that might not get an Eberflus thumbs up. He's looking for corners that can tackle as well.
Bills fans are throwing a parade right now on the internet. Bills Mafia, they're jumping off Winnebagos. They're treating it like a football Sunday, getting rid of this guy. They hate him.
Well, he definitely has been a bust. I mean, a first-round pick that is not. He, like I said, he hasn't even been a full-time starter for them. He's been a spot starter.
Would the Cowboys give up for him?
I still haven't seen the return
hopefully
yet.
Nothing. Hopefully.
Late round picks are coming to Buffalo is what I've seen Josina say.
SMU's in action tonight, ACC tournament, six-seeded Mustangs against number 14 Syracuse. Got a win. Bad news is Mustangs struggled late in the season, but they got their top scorer and playmaker, Boopy Miller, back in the lineup tonight.
Boopy Miller is an all-time name.
Yeah, and they've been on the bubble for weeks. So Boopy's going to try to take them off the bubble. A win tonight against Syracuse, they should be in. But a loss, things would probably get pretty dicey there for them.
Okay, here we go. Compensation from Tom Pelissero. Bills will get a fifth and future seventh round pick from the Cowboys for Kyrie Elam and a sixth rounder. So the Cowboys give up a 5 and a 7. They get back the corner and a 6. And they had 4 fives to work with based on the 3 comps they were awarded yesterday.
So a 5 and a 7, wow, it's quite a bit.
So you get a player and a 6,
get
right?
A player and a 6, and you give up a 5 and a 7.
Okay.
Thank you, Wolchuk. Okay, G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. A Chuck Wagon is next. What's in store?
Have you ever been shot by a dog? That's next.
Welcome back, Nation. Cowboys have traded for another first-round bust, Kyrie Elam coming over from the Bills. He was drafted in 2022. He started 10 of the possible 52 games for Buffalo. And has looked bad really from the jump. He kind of got beat out in his first training camp by a fellow rookie, a sixth rounder, and it never really got better. G-Bag of the Day is coming up in 2:30. We have a Chuck Wagon here in just a second. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Wolchuk.
Yeah, so how about this news, right? The Cowboys did indeed get a corner, and we're going to get into this man shot by a dog story, but it will
be. I feel
like
you're saying that backwards.
No. I thought when I saw it, too, that this headline had to be a ball sacking, but I've got the audio to prove it and everything from the news report. This is going to be unbelievable. It's one of the stories of the year.
This isn't one of your dyslexia moments?
No.
Man shoots dog.
That can happen.
You read it as dog shoots man?
But this was dog shooting man. So I guess the 2025 fifth and then a 2026 seventh is what's going back to Buffalo. Cowboys are getting a sixth this year. So now they'll have 3 fives and 2 sixes plus cornerback Kyrie Elam, who's still just 23 years old, very, very young. He's got $2.5 million guaranteed for this year, then a club option for $12.6 million next year, which I don't believe the Cowboys will probably pick up, but he is on the books for
$2.5 million. Maybe he has a breakout freaking season, man.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen, because you're going to end up winning 10, 11 games, probably win the division.
Maybe this guy does something that he hasn't done for a single second in the NFL since he's gotten to the league, and that's live up to expectations.
That's what we do. We play with hope here.
Every now and then he gets a pick.
Every now and then.
He just happens to be in somebody's blind spot, I think, and the ball comes flying into an area. But generally what I'm seeing is clueless.
And we're going to hope that there's a lot of blind spots when he's playing against Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels and maybe Cam Warden, the Giants, or who the hell knows who the Giants are going to be.
He was the guy that that was getting picked on in the secondary. A secondary that had DeMar Hamlin existing in it. This was the guy that was being picked on.
All right, I'm getting sick of this negativity, guys. Can you just...
$2.5 million of your cap
zip
space?
Zip it. Just zip it, all right? We're going to spin this into a positive.
Let's put 4.5 on a guard that's not better than Brock Hoffman and 2.5 on a corner that really shouldn't even be on a depth chart.
It's a first-round talent right there at corner that they're getting for a fifth and a seventh, Dawson. Okay?
Yeah. Those are just the facts.
Come on now. All right, let's get to this story. We're going to go to the state of Tennessee, the fighting Jason Wittens. Memphis Police Department. They respond to the home of Gerald Kirkwood in the 700 block of Whitney Avenue just before 4 a.m. on Monday morning after receiving an accidental injury call. When they arrive, Kirkwood tells the officers that he was in bed relaxing / talking with a female friend when his dog Oreo jumped onto the bed. He says that's when the one-year-old pit bull terrier stepped on a gun, causing the weapon to discharge. We now go to Channel 3 News in Memphis for more details.
Hey, you probably heard the expression, when dog bites man, it's not news. When man bites dog, it could be news. But when dog shoots owner, now you got a real story.
Yeah.
That's reportedly what happened at this address on Whitney Avenue in Fraser early Monday morning.
I know what happened. I just know somebody got shot.
A disturbing scene for this person who didn't want to be identified.
First the police pulled up and then the fire truck, then the ambulance.
According to police, a man and woman at this address were lying in bed, relaxing and talking when the man's dog jumped on the bed, got its paw stuck in the trigger guard of a weapon, and ended up hitting the trigger. The weapon discharged, around grazing the top left thigh of the 39-year-old man. Monday, family and friends came by but did not want to appear on camera and we're still processing what happened.
There was a freak incident and the dog jumped up and caused the gun to discharge.
A friend of the victim told me the dog involved is a pit bull, about a year old, named Oreo.
Yeah, he's really friendly. He is a pit bull, but he's a very friendly pit bull.
This is really odd, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Is your friend going to be okay?
Yes, he's fine. He's fine.
This is really odd, isn't it?
Yeah, he is a pit bull, man.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently, this is not the first time that we've had a person being shot by their dog.
Really? Yeah, it's no laughing matter.
2023, I'm sorry.
Why do you just have your piece just laying in the bed willy-nilly like that?
And there was no way they were just talking, right? Casual talking when you have a lady friend over.
Pillow talk?
Maybe
you guys don't do pillow talk.
Maybe I think this. Maybe the act. Something was going down here, but yeah, having your loaded gun just like chilling on the bed like that, probably should think. Let's not do this. This is a mistake.
You know, there's a big debate in firearm safety. Like, are you doing it right if you have the round chambered ready to go, right? Because you got to be quick enough to get the draw on somebody or whatever. But I think that is inside of some sort of a holstering device that would keep it safe. Even then, I'm not comfortable with it.
No,
you know, I just feel like there's too much room for disaster. You know, a little kid, even a dog apparently could, take you out.
Shout out to the witness who heard it, though. That guy was the star.
I just know somebody got shot.
And having the bravery to come forward. Yeah. Oreo sounds like a real menace.
And nobody, this is kind of sketchy, though, because nobody wanted to be shown. There's no face in this news report at all. And then officers.
What about the dog?
We didn't get to see the dog. He wasn't allowed to take pictures of the dog. But well, apparently the dog's fine.
He's behind bars, I would assume.
No, dog's still hanging out in the house.
Unbelievable.
Nope, man. Didn't even arrest the dog. But. Didn't even put him in the back of the squad car.
Wow.
Yep.
I'd say Oreo's pretty lucky there.
He is. The female friend, though, took the gun and left. Police had to go find her, get the weapon back. I guess.
All right. There it is. She shot him, bro.
Right?
It's been enough of this. You know what I'm saying? He was capable for her earlier. Oh, it was the dog. He jumped and just so happened to shotgun right at me.
I feel like the lady friend shot him.
There it is.
Get out of here, man.
Yeah. The Dick Wolf of Radio.
Got 2.0.
Yeah. 2023, we had a Kansas man shot and killed in the front seat of his car after his dog stepped on a hunting rifle laying in the back seat. And in 2018, we had an Iowa man who claimed he was shot by his dog, claimed while playing around on the couch. Also, a New Mexico man in 2018 shot by his dog when it stepped on a shotgun in the backseat of his truck. Is this the my dog ate my homework, but I accidentally
I
shot myself?
I think so. It's crazy. Like, it's in my algorithm, the accidental shootings of people, you know, whether they're doing a gun safety class or they're just dorking around as a kid, the accidental discharge. It's very common, unfortunately.
You know? Sad.
You would think there's no way this is going to happen, but it does.
Clearly, it's happened more than once.
Time to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has your G-bag of the day.
Who's investigating that story? You should ask, okay, what were you guys talking about? Yeah. What was the conversation based on?
Sounds like a kind of like
you guys getting a fight?
Why did you take the gun?
Yeah.
Now, these are real questions that need answers.
These are real questions.
Yeah.
Nah, man, he caping for. He doesn't want to see her get in trouble. I understand. Okay, I messed honey. Up.
I was out of line.
I'll block her, I promise.
He's caping for his B while he throws his other B under the bus.
Poor Oreo here. Catching strays.
Poor Oreo. Yeah, Pitbull's already got a little tough time out here. Now it's a Pitbull with a gun. Mm. Hell out of here. He put that on that Pitbull fast, too, right?
He did.
Yeah. Oh, it was the Pitbull.
Oh, he jumped on the bed and accidentally pulled the trigger.
Pitbull.
His paw got caught.
Jeez. All right, man, this is day three for this clip right here. It's a church combo. 3 days. We are saving souls out here. Mm. I'm telling you, somebody who hasn't went to church in a long time, gone to church in a long time, are listening to these clips saying, this is how they're getting down in church?
Yeah.
I might pull up.
I'm back, baby.
Bringing souls back, man.
Send the facts.
Let this pastor pray for us.
We continue to grow spiritually, that you will continue to be the foundation that we build our lives, our marriages, our parenting, our hookups, our fears, our depressions, our anxieties.
He said habits after that.
God, that you will help us build those on you. We love you. We're going to sing now and take an offering, and I'm going to be quiet and get off the stage.
Take an offering.
Did he say habits after that?
That's the most offerings he's ever gotten.
He slipped twice in a sense.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. Let me see.
Our hookups, our habits.
Yeah.
Not our habits. We're just hooking up.
Nudie Mags.
You can't get past me, pimping. I see you, dog. Third eye is blinking on you. All right, we have another pastor right here. He's proud of his wife. Very proud. And she takes a shot at men that like to wash dishes.
I married a Hispanic, a Puerto Rican. I was going to help with the dishes. I started the first day we came back from our honeymoon. I thought I'm going to be a good husband. I started doing the dishes. And my wife said to me, and I quote, what are you, gay? So that's the one benefit, one of many of marrying.
That's the benefit.
Into the outside of the white race. Amen. You're not expected to help with the housework. You're expected to not help with the housework.
That is a mess. Great,
that is a mess.
I like how he didn't stop after he said amen.
He
wasn't getting a call back.
Keep driving, bro. Plow on through it.
A little awkward silence there.
By the way, there, Mr. Eric, pillow talking?
Yeah.
It's almost like a form of snitching or hating.
Oh.
But you can get good information from pillow talking if you're a single man.
I got you.
Yeah, there's pillow talking, and then there's being intimate with your lady or, you know, whatever.
I got you.
Pillow talk is nasty.
Okay, gotcha. Oh, I thought it was just like, you know, we're setting the sched for tomorrow with the wife. Hey, don't forget, you're taking the girls to school in the morning.
Yeah.
Don't forget, by the way.
You're cooking breakfast in the morning, okay?
This is straight business.
Yeah. The trash comes tomorrow morning.
Here's the list of crap you've got to do.
The least sexy conversations you've ever heard happen in my bed.
Hysterical. When I say John Kruk.
Fat baseball.
Crucky.
Phillies.
Yeah, we're best damn sports show, period. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Beautiful. All of those. And he also knows a great place for the kids to drink. All you hip kids, come on with me.
Offer 4 cases of Labatt Blue. Nice. Well, I mean, I didn't get the 4 case. I drank them while I was there. It's a great place to drink, Tom, Montreal. For all you kids planning on going up there for a trip. I'm kidding.
No, I'm not. It was good.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not. Rocky.
What's this world come to? You can't encourage kids to drink beer anymore. You know? Just a camping trip.
I bet Crucky was putting it down, down.
Man, he had to be, bro.
Oh, 100%.
Free cold beer? Sure.
Nobody drinks more than Crucky.
Crucky.
Wade Boggs?
Well, Boggs.
Wade Boggs, I think, would be a good match.
Is he the one that set that record on a flight?
Yeah.
The most beers?
That's
insane.
They say it was
70 beers from coast to coast, Boston to Seattle, something like that?
They did a whole
It's Always Sunny episode.
Always Sunny, baby. Yeah. Shout out to Sweet. Have you went back and like watched the old schools? Always Sunny's like the first ones, like when D&M are doing steroids.
Yeah, so I boycotted the show because it was a Philadelphia-based show for a long time. So like 3 or 4 years ago was the first time I got into it. So I started from the beginning, and I found out even then they'd already had to like take off a bunch of episodes because it was so bad compared to now. They had to get rid of some.
Nah, back in the day, bro, you had to get the DVDs from Best Buy on a Tuesday.
I know.
Band.
I mean, Charlie's Mom on Christmas. There's some wild stuff going on in that show.
Like a 2 Live Crew record.
Oh good. Man. I just punched a hole in a wall. All right, let's go to Seattle. Mariners broadcaster hit by a foul pitch. You guys seen that?
Oh.
Love it.
Shout out
Rick
to
Riz.
Yeah, Riz. Knocked the Riz out of his ass. That's a cool name, though. Rick Riz.
Yep.
Shout out to Tolo Adrian Gonzalez for sending me this, bro.
On Hoskins. Now the set by Vargas. Here's the pitch. Swing and a foul. Did it get you?
Oh, man.
Did it get you?
Yeah.
Oh, he's too old to play it off.
He was gargling.
Yeah, he was.
Somebody said it sounded like Kennedy.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll come back right after this.
We're going to take a quick break. This is not good. This is not medic. Please, somebody.
The sound, the jiggles, and
everything.
That was amazing.
Swing it, foul.
Did he get you?
Man, did he say foul before he got hit? He knew it was coming in hot.
Yeah.
Still wanted to get the call in.
Nailed him in the throat.
Let's run it back again. It's worth it. Hold on.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a foul.
Did it get you?
I'm just holding my throat over here, bro.
I'm telling you, he's getting hit with the ball while he says foul. He is as he's saying foul, he's getting hit.
Did it get you? No, it didn't.
Is there video of this?
There's got to be.
The entity I got it from, it was like a recorded off of an audio thing. So if there is, I haven't seen it circulating yet.
That's swinging a foul.
Swinging a foul.
Yeah, hockey guy just showed him how it's done.
That's
you know?
What I'm saying. Hockey
you just bark
dude.
Out a single F.
Yeah.
Hockey dude hung in there.
No FCC violations to speak of with my guy here just gurgling through it.
No. Well, he couldn't speak. He got hit in the throat with a
no FCC violation, but he did lose his man card. That's for sure.
And it may be his job because he can't speak anymore.
Sound like our guy at Tampa.
Did I get you?
Swinging a foul.
He swallowed that ball, stuck in his throat.
I don't think I need to hear any more today, Lucius. Do you have any more nominees to play, though?
That's it.
Okay, is it our champ, Church Combo, 2-time champ looking for 3? Is it John Kruk telling the kids where they can drink their beer if they're on vacation?
I'm just kidding. No, I'm not.
Or Rick Riz swinging a foul back. That's my vote, Chief. How about you?
Yeah, this is easy, boys.
Lucius?
Sure.
Wolchuk?
Yeah, did he get you?
Right.
Yeah, did he get you?
I'm going to throw a vote for Crux Way. I like that.
Oh, by a score of 4-1.
Crux and A, yo.
And your new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's the longtime Mariners play-by-play announcer, Rick Riz. Okay.
He's got that Riz.
Yeah, man. It's time for an NFL draft big board report, the position that might make more sense than ever after the Cowboys moves. But maybe we have to review that question in light of the breaking news from earlier this hour that's coming up next year to the G-Bag Nation and the fans.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. 682 says, bro, if you don't drink beer, you can't say if you see me, beer me. No one's buying NA beer. Well, I would disagree with that.
I think you earned the stripes, bro, to drink beer. He don't know your history.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Also seen you get plenty of NA beers
and thank you.
Brought to you.
Yeah, yes. And I've been around some people that that athletic beer can deal.
That's a good one.
I don't really even know the contents
really
of it,
good
but
too.
The Athletic Brewing IPA.
Yeah.
I forget what they call it, but it is good and it's available at most grocery stores. But it is actually the golden era. Like NA beer used to be horrible and you're right, not a lot of people did, but right around the time I quit, like, it blew up. And now you go to, like, Specs, it's got a whole, like, massive section. It's become kind of a thing, I think, you know. I think we have the younger kids to thank for it. You know, they're not quite as obsessed with getting hammered as we were. You kids don't know what they're missing. But yeah.
What was the man versus beer challenge? What was that? How much did you drink?
Okay, that was 100. That was 100 ounces, so, you know, I don't know, only, like, 8.5 beers in 30 minutes.
You did it pretty fast.
It was a giant tower of beer. Yeah. And I
did you get it? Nice. A whole slow hoax? Whole slow hoax?
I don't know where I got that. No. My buddy Brett from the Down Under Pub in Frisco, he was the owner operator up there. And I made such a big deal out of it one night. He just gave it to me because, you know, he knew the promotional people like that. But, yeah, I said, let's see how fast I can drink it. And I'm sure people could do that thing in like 5 minutes or whatever. But I did it in 28 minutes. And I was pretty hammered that night. Had a good time.
And still drank more later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We went out. I think, did we go to Fort Worth? Yeah. Didn't we end up at we ended up at a spot. It was a big night. But anyway.
That sounds pretty incredible. I honestly wish I could have witnessed that. Just been around that environment. What a celebration.
Did you have confetti
raining down on you afterwards?
Yes.
That's worthy.
And I was yelling, I kicked your ass, beer. I kicked your ass.
Who do you think you are? I am.
It was hilarious. But yeah, NFL draft big board report. I just wanted to point that out for the 682. There's history to that if you see me, bear me. You know, when I first got here, I was just a beer drinking son of a gun. And we were going out to almost all the Rangers games in 2010. They were good, but they weren't so good that they were selling out because they hadn't had that playoff success yet in 2008, 2009. I mean, they'd shown signs. So as the official station of the Rangers, there were literally tickets laying around every night that you could just grab and go to the Rangers game. So we were doing that a lot, and we wanted the Tolos to know, hey, let's hang out tonight. Let's go drink some beers together. Mm-hmm. So that's where If You See Me, Bear Me was originated. Okay, the Cowboys send a 5 and a 7 to the Bills for a draft bust named Kair Elam and a 6. Okay, so they are getting a little something back. So it's not the end of the world. But I do think it kind of sucks that he's going to count $2.5 million against the cap. Hopefully that's not guaranteed. But that's relevant as we jump into this NFL draft big board report. CBS Sports has their post-free agency mock draft. They're giving you Jahdae Barron, the pick, cornerback, UT. The lack of speed is there. And I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this because I looked it up. Like, how slow can you be and still be a great corner? They gave me Josh Norman with a 4.66, Rondé Barber 4.68. Then you got your Richard Sherman at a 4.6, and Joe Hayden was 4.57. That's like four guys.
This dude's actually, I mean, he was like a 4.4 guy at the combine,
4-4-1,
wasn't he?
I think.
But like the size factor,
he's size guy?
Yeah, he's
the size
length. Guy.
And it's really the length because he's like 5'11", basically 200 pounds.
Right.
I think it's mostly the arm length.
29, on the arms.
Who was the guy you were worried about his speed?
Will Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll likely never run. They have drafted a corner here that they never got a time on before. That's Diggs. They never got a 40-yard dash time on Diggs coming out of Alabama.
But they waited till the second round.
Second round pick at the 16th.
But he was in play at 17. Like, if Lamb hadn't have been there, some say Diggs was going to be the pick there.
Yeah, Barron doesn't fit their threshold for the length and the size that way. So it's probably that they won't draft
him. We love Barron, but I just for, you know, Tolo's just, I don't believe he's
they
in
would,
play
they
for the
would
Cowboys
probably
at
like Will Johnson from Michigan at 6'2".
Well, that's who NBC Sports goes with, Will Johnson.
Yeah.
Big guy, ball skills, but is not going to run.
I'll tell you what.
I don't think, Michigan's pro day was coming up. He suffered a hamstring injury, didn't run at the combine. The question about him was really how fast is he? And then he says, oh, I'll run on April 14th. He'll probably get to April 14th and he'll be like, well, I don't feel well enough to run. And then here you go. Then you'll never get a time on him. I would have a hard time drafting him, but the Cowboys have done this. They've done it before. So, you know, don't be surprised if Will Johnson is the pick.
He's also got some safety flex. I've heard from some teams they view him like even maybe if it's late in the career, like what Charles Woodson did, where they move him over to safety. But
Will
if
Johnson?
Yeah, with Will Johnson. If things don't work out, he could end up being like a Byron Jones. You know, they could end up shuffling him corner safety a little bit.
What does the trade do? Nothing, right? No. To your cornerback approach in the draft?
Nothing. Still need corner.
Still need multiple corners, yeah. Probably.
Mm-hmm.
USA Today is giving you Shamar Stewart, edge from the Aggies. If he's the best player there, you got to take him, right? You need edge long term?
Yeah, but that would be a tough one on me. I to be honest with you, even though the kid didn't run very well today at Georgia, there's some talk about Mikel Williams being a pick here for the Cowboys. I would take Williams over Stewart if it was me. I think
really?
Shamar, yeah, I would.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let.
Is the tape that much better?
That it's not. It's the thing about it is, to me, like he does not play like how he works out.
Shamar Stewart?
No. Yeah the tape, I didn't see that either.
And not that Mikel Williams is any great. I mean, would Mikel Williams run a 4.87?
Yeah, one team had him as a 4.68.
That's a team like
that's
me.
That's a team that likes
him. Got him at 38.
But size, I mean, here's the thing with Williams. I think that he's very comparable, and I know it's the same team. I talked about this on the draft show yesterday with Trayvon Walker, who the Jags took number one overall.
Yeah.
Now, he's been a bust for being the first overall pick, but Mikel Williams is a really good run defender, can do a lot of the things that you've lost with DeMarcus Lawrence. And I think you're just hoping with the talent and the skill set, he can develop the pass rush. To me, like Shamar Stewart is more of your, he's either going to completely stink or you could get a 15 sack guy. I mean, he's got that type of talent.
Tank hasn't gone anywhere yet, has he?
No.
Wouldn't be surprised, maybe hear about him back.
I think that's why they got Turner, to be honest with you. I think Turner's going to be that. I'll talk about Turner at 340 today back at the scouting report, but I think a much better run defender than a pass rusher.
How you guys looking at defensive tackle now that you have Thomas and Osa back in the mix?
This draft's just too good not to take at least one defensive tackle.
I still need a one. Yeah, in a one technique. And, you know, Grant Williams from Ohio State, Harmon. You know what's starting to really bother me is that every name that they're talking about now at 12, I am just not a fan of. Whether it's Mikel Williams, whether it's Will Johnson, you know, I just am not a fan of where this thing is going right now.
What would you do with the players that will most likely be there?
You know what? Me personally, like I say, we mentioned they wouldn't take Barron because of the length. Barron would be the best fit if you were looking for a corner. But, I mean, I would take Green from Marshall.
I'd take Mike Green over any of those
before
kids.
Mikel Williams. Yeah. I mean, a legitimate pass rusher. I would even, you know, I would think about, to me, Green makes a lot of sense. I don't know if they would do that, but, you know, because to me, with Green, you're talking about a guy that can affect the game as a pass rusher. Mikel Williams, sure, good-looking guy, but he's a better run player than he is a pass rusher. And so I'm, you know, are we drafting run defenders at 12 overall?
No, sir.
I mean, that's what I'm, and I don't like the fact that they're talking about Will Johnson, and I don't know a speed on him. This is starting to really kind of upset me in that way of the names that are being floated around here.
Well, you are seeing a lot of drafts where Genty is off the board already. That trend continues.
And that's because every player now that we're looking at 12 is one of these guys like, well, he can do this.
Yeah, warts.
Yeah, there's
something that you're probably like, not. I like this, but I don't love this.
We did this on the draft show yesterday. And you start to talk about give me the healthiest player, give me the best character player, and give me the best player, skill wise.
That's Johnny Barron.
At
12, it should be, dude. Like, they're overstating the arm length thing.
Yeah, well, that's what they...
That's less of a wart than they're making it out to be.
Ginty's that way, though, too. Ginty, if you look at all three...
He checks all the boxes.
He checks all the boxes.
Oh, yeah, there's not a single...
See, that's what I'm saying. If that, and now people are talking about him going before 12, and that's because everybody else that we're talking about after he gets picked, there's issues with. There are big issues with Williams. There are big issues with Johnson. You know, it's kind of disheartening right now that it's turning into this.
They just had to try to win those games right up to week 18. Then all of a sudden it was perfectly fine to not try to win the game.
You got to hope that, and I don't know if they'd look at Simmons, the tackle.
Don't think they're taking an offensive lineman.
Yeah. And if you're going to take, there's like McMillan. I would even consider taking Burton over Michael Williams and Will Johnson.
See, I was going to ask about wide receiver. Why not?
Yeah, I would. I would.
I'd take Buka.
A Buka with, okay, if you told me that you can get, and McMillan's gone, I would take, fine, give me a Buka, give me Burton, give me Golden at 12. I'll take all those guys over Michael Williams and Will Johnson right now.
There it is. The NFL Draft Big Board Report is our countdown to the draft continues. Woolchuck's NFL News of the Day coming up next. Zach, what's in store?
We got 40 bets, and the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes is heating up. That is next in the nation.